my favorite interview listeners, Andrew Freeman of AF&Co. And we meet regularly once a year. He's my secret crush, not so secret
anymore. You're my longest-term relationship. Okay.
But Andrew is going to be talking to us about, he and Carbonate work on publicity, promotion, special events, marketing, whatever it is, having to do with the hospitality industry. And every year he does an annual hospitality trends report. Now, this one's going to be the 17th. Is there some standout difference that you've noticed in your 17 years of this?
Well, I'd say that, hi, first of all, hi, and thanks for having me. I would say that, this is a labor of love that goes on all year, and we have this team that's amazing that really puts it together, especially, our lead senior strategist, Leith, who's really, looking at trends all year long. I think for this year, well, number one, it's the most comprehensive report we've ever done. Because it was just rich with, we couldn't stop thinking about things. But, there's a couple things that stand out. Number one, the impact of the pandemic. While people, it's in the past, it's still very much a part of our lives. How it truly transitioned, really transformed the restaurant industry in ways that none of us could imagine.
And not only that, but it's transformed drivers and a lack of courtesy on the road.
Yes, we came out of it in a completely different way. And the other thing, too, is it's every city is different. I live in San Francisco, where we're definitely the slowest to rebound from this whole thing. And so it's had an impact, on the industry at large, travel, everything. And then the true impact of the Gen Zers and their attitudes on life and their attitudes on how they look for things and how they spend, and even though the whole report isn't geared to them, it's the influence that they're having on all the other generations. And so we definitely saw that this year stronger than ever. And this
they like small things. Like I one friend, I visited one of these tiny houses. Like the bathroom is like on an airplane. You can't really turn around. And they don't like things, they don't like, I don't like things.
They don't need them. They're also finding their information differently than we all found it, and then, this constant quest for the need for experiential, I want to, whether it be, and we found that it could be really high end as it relates to these, this influx of tasting menus and omakase experiences, to low end, which it could just be, instant ramen shops with self-service. So there's this constant need, that's driving the report this year to continue to look at how to not only reach the people, but once you do reach them, what do you give them that's going to keep them engaged, and so it was a very, telling year because, I think everybody just, that's not in our industry, thinks the pandemic's over, it's done. But the ripple effects through our industry, plus, the economy and the crazy election and,
the crazy election. Did you read that article in New York Magazine written by somebody who was previously a server during the first Trump administration? He says that he made more money when Trump was in office than he ever made at any other job in his whole life. Because the rich people felt that they were going to get even richer, and they loved splurging. And so he regularly recommended and sold $500 bottles of wine with nothing. And his tips were like six figures.
Well, listen, we all have to accept whatever we accepted. And if that's one of the positive things that comes out of it,
I guess.
If people start going out again and spending money and eating, then great. We shall see. But it's just been, the hospitality industry has just been, you know, hit the hardest, as we all know, and now it just continues. And but you know, the people that are there's a survival instinct about our business, and they are getting more and more. It pushes you to go creatively. How you're going to go creative? I think restaurant promotions, you'll see more than ever. Fried chicken nights and this, you know.
Right, that's been good for your business, yeah.
Yeah, all that, because that's what people, you know, are looking for right now, you know. And I always say to all my clients, like, if you could just get everybody in one more time a month, you know, think about what that would do to your bottom line, you know.
Yeah.
And so, but you have to keep them engaged, you know. So that's, I'd say that. We haven't really worried about, we're not worried, but we haven't seen that as prevalent in any other year.
Huh, interesting. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you've already given us some specifics in the hospitality trends. When you did your presentation, what did you push the hardest of what was going to be in trends?
Well, you know, I think, you know, as you know, we break it down to food, wine, flavors. I think the biggest moment for, you know, some of the report was calling pistachio as the flavor of the year.
Yeah, I noticed this, by the way, because I happened to, I mean, you know, I'm Sicilian by background, so the pistachios were central to my whole food experience, but all of a sudden they're everywhere.
Yeah, and then there's like, you know, they're being used in the things like the Dubai chocolate bar, which has gone viral online, and, you know, they're being used in desserts, and they're being used in lattes, and they're being used everywhere. So I think there was a definite moment where people were like, I love pistachios. And so, you know, I mean, specifically trends like that were very, like our top trends were, you know, they're always around like the freezer martini, which is, you know, just this, you know, it's batched and then it's put in the freezer and you serve it right from the freezer. And, you know, that's great for banqueting and for bigger parties, but it's also, you know, we try to say, like, you can also do this at home, you know, so there's specifics to, you know, to those kind of things, I think were interesting. You know, like I said, we had, you know, every year we usually call some sort of food of the year. And,
yeah.
You know, this year it was simple seafood. You know, in the past it's been very Asian inspired. It's always been like Korean or Filipino.
Oh yeah,
or
Korean was
something.
Big for a while.
But they're on the scene now. Like they're like a lot of these have tipped, and so this year we're like people are just looking for great back to really simple presentations. Let the ingredients speak for themselves, and so that you know that I think people were a little like you know waiting for some big announcement of you know, like what is the cuisine of the year? But
You
know, I called, Oakland, California as the food city of the year. And interestingly enough, you know, as you probably have read that Oakland, San Francisco Bay Area, like, you know, we're having our fair share of negative press around crime and break-ins and all that. And, you know, it's been really tough to recover from that. But this city is sort of like the Brooklyn was when, you know, 10, 15 years ago when Brooklyn came on the scene. And Oakland has, this year alone, has had Food & Wine's best new restaurant, which is Verdell. And we were in the top 10 of Bon Appetit's restaurants. And there's still this real rich culture of African-American that's coming through. And
oh, yeah, so that I noticed a long time ago. I might have been the first person to interview, what's his name, that has the restaurant in New York. No, he started out in D.C. Oh, what's his name?
Marcus? Is it Marcus Hamilton or?
No. This is much younger. New.
Oh, okay.
I mean, not new, but I can't remember his name. But anyhow, yeah, I saw that happening way back then. And we also interviewed the very first black winemaker I've ever met.
Yeah.
And so I saw that coming down the pike there.
Yeah, so Oakland, you know, it's really like, you know, for, luckily I live near it, so I get to go there a lot. But I think some of the most
Do you know an Indian restaurant there that I used to hang around with that the woman and her husband who owned it? It's gotten a lot of press. What's it called?
In Oakland?
In Oakland.
Yeah. I'm trying to think because it's not Bambara. I'd have to dig in, to,
Yeah, I don't know much. You
yeah.
know, after a certain age, your mind starts going.
Well, I'm there with you, so don't keep, I'm there with you. So, people always say to me, like, if I don't write it down, it's not going to stick.
Exactly. But now you just gave yourself away right there, because what you should do is make a note on your phone.
I know, I know. Yeah, I know. Like, it's so funny because thank God I surround myself with young people, because like half the time when they're having conversations, I'm like, what are you talking about? It's interesting because, in all the social media trends we had in the report, there's a moment where you're sort of sitting there and you're watching like Leif and Candace present, and you're like, I'm really actually learning something today from our own report, which is great. Yeah.
Now, do you see how this whole thing with a lack of any kind of courtesy or common hospitality? I mean, does that carry over into the industry, the hospitality
I would
industry?
say that, what I would say is that, so much of that is about the training that you provide for, which has also, definitely been tightened because it costs money to do that. I think there's always going to be the amazing companies and the amazing hospitality people that are always going to insist on that level. I do
Yeah.
think that certain standards have been cut. Things that you might have gotten used to might not be happening at the same level. But I do believe that at the heart of it, that's still, honestly, it's still a training issue. And what, like, a clear vision of like what the experience that you want people to get when they come into your restaurant. Because I've seen, in addition to feeling what you feel at times, definitely, I've also seen extraordinary experience as well, where you're still greeted and you're still treated well, and there's an anticipatory feel to the experience. I always say, if somebody comes to eat in your restaurant and that you go to pick up their full, like, and they say no problem, there's a problem because they didn't come to the restaurant because they weren't hungry. Like, oh, I wasn't hungry, then why are you here? But I think being trained to ask those kind of questions, and then figuring out how to deal with it, and being given, here's the other thing, being given the leeway to make the right decision, is key. So I don't want to believe that it's done, but I definitely feel it's just more challenging. Here's the other thing too. The majority of restaurants and hotels are still working short-staffed because
Yeah.
so many people left
Also,
the industry.
more worrisome, hospitals.
Oh, yeah.
And have you tried getting a doctor's appointment or a dentist appointment lately?
Yeah, so it's just, everybody left to go work in other industries and they're not back yet. And so, we're definitely redefining,
Then
like, you know,
you're going to
being
be
refined.
shorted even more when they sort of deport all these immigrants. And
Oh my gosh.
I mean, what's going to happen with not hospitality, but with agriculture?
Everything. I mean, that's why I think that, I'm honestly, I think when people realize that the jobs that these lovely people, that, they're not all, they're not all criminals, and they're, that they're, it's going to have to be redefined, because I don't think anybody's realized who's going to pick the grapes, during harvest, and who's going to, to be the janitors at schools, and like, who's going to do all the jobs, that are so important to all of our businesses. And so I'm really sort of waiting to see how that's all gonna come
Well,
down.
you know, the property next door to us was bought and sold to a developer who's putting up a 9-unit apartment complex there. And I thought, well, he's been around a while, let me ask him. And I said, can I pick your brain on household help, and remodeling and things? And he said, there isn't any. So all of his people, I think I found out that especially when I tried to speak to them in English, they're all from like Guatemala in Mexico
Yeah.
City.
Yeah. So it's
So
also
when they
going to
go
be.
away, I mean, if they catch them and send them back, then what?
No, it's just going to be really interesting to see how that all plays out. And I always keep saying to myself, with all of our world problems, like, focus less on this and focus less on, like, let the women make their own choices and focus on getting our economy better. We're ending all this war that we're having. Like, just focus on, like, get prioritize.
Well,
Anyway,
do
but.
you find that you're getting more new customers now with the need to get the word out?
It's interesting. I think that what again, just like what we've had to do is really learn how to specialize now, like and be very flexible to what their needs are. It could just be like they need somebody to help with them with their social media. It could be that they because and you know this being a journalist, the traditional media outlets are
Oh
so
boy.
different than they were. And so, if somebody just wants to hire you to do traditional media relations, you have to be really honest with them and say, we have to go over your expectations here, and then the whole world of influencer now and how, like, really vetting them because everybody's an influencer. So you have
Yes.
to really, like, who's really going to move the needle for your restaurant. So what I would say is there's a need and we're doing, knock wood, very well, but we have to be, everything has to be customized. Where in the old days, it would be like, this is what you get. And so between us and Carbonate, that's what's the beauty. Like we can provide everything. We just have to really customize everything now.
Well, the difference in like I would really love to know why millions of people tune into this podcast. If anybody out there is listening and wants to tell me, let me know.
Well, there's still, let's face it, the one beautiful thing about our business is that there's some fascination with it. People love to cook, people love to eat out, they always
Yeah,
will.
that's true.
I don't care what anybody says. I think they love to travel, I think what we provide, in these podcasts and is there's also that escapist quality that even if you can't eat there or
Right.
you can't get away, you can experience it through listening or through, watching. So there's an aspirational quality to everything that we do. Like we were talking about the Gen Z, a few minutes ago, the Gen Z. And what I was saying is like, they're going to graduate up, right? So like with wineries, like, yeah, you may have to start with, like the flavored wines that were in the report this year and that was one of the moments in Napa where, we're in Napa, the most classic wine country environment, very, a little, bluntly, a little old school, right? And when we were presenting some of the trends, somebody said, well, this feels very anti-Napa, because, and I was like, no, it's not. I said, it's not anti-Napa. It's just like, you have to evolve. Like, I was very clear. I was like, look, wine sales or consumption's way down. Like, and that's because people are just drinking less. The NA movement has really taken off. They're also looking for alternatives to just, wine. They're like, unfortunately, some of the younger generation doesn't care as much about, the production or the process. So you have to meet them where they are and then grow them into the people the consumers you want them to be.
I've noticed that though with convincing people in the hospitality industry to change is very difficult. I mean, it's as difficult as trying to change political parties with somebody,
Well, people are really set in their ways. They're set in their ways. The nostalgia of what was is stronger in the hospitality business than any other business, right?
I
So,
was going to mention the nostalgia part of it because you notice that all these reinventions of the long-deceased restaurants. I mean, that's a weirdie, isn't it?
It's so funny because what I always say to everybody is like everything old is new again. So to the younger people, they've never heard of it before. There's like they don't have the nostalgia aspect. So like if you play into it too much, you're going to miss an opportunity to say, like, you like to educate them to say, this was an amazing experience, and we're bringing it back for you. Like, you should try this now.
I see.
It's so funny. Every year, there's always something that people are like, that's like very old school. And I'm always like, yeah, to you it is, but to the younger people, this is like, we never saw this before, you know? Now that I'm, it's really funny because I really try hard not to be one of those old buddy daddies who are like, oh, you don't realize how good this was, you know, when I was, you know what I mean? But I do feel that way sometimes. You know, like sometimes we'll be talking about something with my team, and it could be like a restaurant like Lutece or something, and they'll have no idea what I'm talking about, and I'll be like, how could you not know that, you know, like that French cuisine started here, there's probably, I think it's just, you sort of just say, okay, well, here's the deal. Like, if you want to learn, I'm going to teach you. And if you don't, it's still going to be a great experience. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I mean, what about staffing for you? I mean, I know staffing's hard at all the hospitality sites, but what about, like, I mean, do your potential clients understand how important it is to have communications?
Yeah, I think they do. I think, for staffing for my agency is tough because we're located in the Bay Area where we're competing with tech and AI now, and bluntly, they pay better, because we're hospitality is gonna, there's always going to be a cap on what restaurants and hotels and wineries can afford. But, what you have is, if you truly love this lifestyle, it's going to be way more fun to go out to dine and to be working with clients and chefs and restaurants and hotels and spas than it's going to be focusing on, like, one big AI product. But, I always say to people, you're making a lifestyle choice here. It's a job, and you're going to get paid, and you're going to get benefits, but it's a lifestyle option too, because it's not like any other job.
Do you keep running into this, the questions about the importance of AI?
What are
the kinds of questions people ask?
Well, a lot of people think that they can just do everything through AI. And, what I always say is, like, it is a tool. You can definitely ask AI a lot of questions. You could even have them craft certain things, but at the heart of it, you're going to lose all the nuances of solid writing. And people will know it's AI.
Apparently it's really hard to tell, isn't it?
Well, a little bit. It depends, though. If you're writing like a press release around a new opening of a restaurant, and you say to AI, write this press release. Here's the key facts. This is a chef. This is the address. This is everything. It's opening on this date. What they're going to miss out on is all the nuances of what makes that restaurant special, So I always say, use it as a start, but then go in and personalize it and edit it. I use it a lot for, like, when I have to craft a memo to, somebody about an HR thing or something like that. But then I never just, in all the times I've used it, I've never just said perfect. Good to go. I always go in and edit it. But I will say, though, being here now, because now we're San Francisco's quote-unquote newest title is the AI capital of the world, because all these companies are moving here. I just think we're still at the very beginning of where this is going to go. My fear, obviously, is that, will agencies like mine be replaced, because people can just say, I don't think that's going to happen because...
No, I mean, I think it's going to happen in certain industries, but I don't think it's going to... I mean, there are certain industries it's not going to touch.
Yeah, because so much of what we do is personal. It's very relationship-based. You don't get that from AI. But I recommend that everybody, play around with ChatGPT and just use it for... Because I always, like, if you can have a note taker... when you're in meetings, taking notes for you, that personally for me, that eliminates a person being on the call taking notes. You know what I mean? Like,
how nice.
So there's definitely
there are uses for it, yeah.
There's uses. Yeah, there's uses.
Yeah, I read a novel once about, it was about an era where you could get a friend, a companion AI doll kind of, you know.
Oh, was, yeah.
I don't remember the name of the book, which
was that,
is...
Was it Her? H-E-R, Her? Because that was a similar concept. Where
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
The AI personality comes
and
to
I,
life.
She ends up in a junkyard.
Yeah, yeah. I can't remember,
that
but
was,
I know it was, yeah.
I always feel so bad for AI characters because they end up in abandoned in a junkyard.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. What do you think is, like, you've mentioned a whole bunch of challenges, but, I mean, something major has to happen to get everything on track again. I mean, what would that be?
You know, for our industry, you know, it's interesting. The travel industry came back really strong. I think what happened is that we had all these road warriors during COVID, right? So all these, like Napa, Sonoma, like they were getting, they actually saw the benefit of people not wanting to get on planes, you know, and being able to drive themselves
right.
And stay isolated. Once travel started to hit back and people were going back to Europe, and now Japan is very big because the dollar's so strong there, like I think travel is going to bounce back really well. I think the biggest thing is, you know, can we keep the level of service where it needs to be for that? Can we and can we keep it somewhat affordable so that it doesn't just become a true elitist?
See, what I think the real problem is that can you keep people to be sensible and civil? I mean, the stuff that happens on airplanes now, I've spent half my life flying places, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But I never had a seatmate pull out a paper cut and pee in it. I mean, I never
that,
even had somebody try to open the door in midair. And so then,
yeah.
I mean, I just think it's like people have lost parts of their mind that are attached to common sense and common decency, both.
Yeah,
really.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think you know, that's, you know, the swing back to that is going to be, you know, hopefully having more, you know, the ability to put more standards in place and to train and hire qualified people that can help with that. You know, you know, I just keep going back to our business is such a personal human business that it's so, and it's so transactional based on human experience that, you know, you have to have the right people in place. You know, I was talking to a client this morning who basically said they're going into the holidays and they're busy, which is great because, you know, but they're very short-staffed. And he said, there could be a moment where I might have to just tell people no food tonight because we don't have anybody to cook it, you know. And but that's seriously what they're dealing with right now because, you know, it's so tough to find qualified people. And then, but you know, what the other thing that I don't like about what's going on is that there's the loyalty component. Like, there's just, like, people just hop to a new job if they get an offer and they won't, you know, they won't even think
right.
about, like, what, you know, like, what's this going to do? Or because, and realistically, I understand that. But the flip side is, like, you know, I will say this. I'll be the old fuddy-duddy. We were trained so differently to be respectful of, you know, the process, to work your butt off until you were recognized, you know, like, you never, like, yeah, I got trained by Joe Baum, right? So, like, the, you know, the king of restaurants, and, you know, I have to say, it was like boot camp, but, you know, what I learned set the foundation for how I decided to run the rest of my life, you know? But I don't think that the newer generations, just, it's so much more about, you know, me and work-life balance, and, you know, and it's hard for our generation who just would never think to say, you know, like, well, you know, I can't work that weekend or, you know, whatever, like, so part of what I think has to happen is like, we all have to wake up to the reality of like, this is what we're dealing with and how do we navigate this? You know, that's the big thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think you're going to hang on and do well. Do you want a 1 minute pitch here for what exactly your company and Carbonate?
Sure, if you don't mind, I'd love it.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, so first of all, I'm very excited to tell you that AFCO, AF&Co, which is Andrew Freeman and Company, turned 19 years old in November. So we're heading into our 20th year. And we're Bay Area based, so we are remote now, and we work all over the country. We specialize in marketing, public relations, media relations, social media, you know, partnership development, basically anything that your business needs to just get noticed and get out there. And I always say it's really easy. It's heads in beds and butts in seats. That's what we focus on. You know, that's basically, and it could be a new head or a new butt or a repeat head and a repeat butt. It doesn't matter. We're just constantly driven to help our clients get more business, and we custom tailor programs. Carbonate is 5 years old, and they specialize in storytelling and branding, brand strategy. They, you know, they have a great team of designers on staff. They also do some PR and some marketing as it relates to the clients that may bring them in for branding or you know, this storytelling. So they work with clients that are a little larger than, because they're all over the place. My partner, Candace, is based in Cincinnati, but her business model has people all over the country. And then together, we both produce this amazing piece of research, which is what we're talking about today, the trend report, which has become the industry standard for, you know, hotel companies, restaurant companies, research, you know, to hear about what we're foreseeing as the, you know, the top trends of the coming year. And by the way, everybody could download the report by going to either website, which is carbonategroup.com or afnco.com.
Right. And that's a good thing to do, because there are all these hidden gems you might not really think of. But as a consumer of these services, you should. Andrew, as always, I love talking to you. And I know we'll continue. I mean, you're 19. This is our 21st year.
Oh, my gosh, I know. We're like, yeah, it's good. You know, we're still here.
Here we are. All right. Well thank you enormously. And I hope you ride the tide, and I hope people stop being such pains in the behind. I mean,
okay. Well, when we check in next year, we'll check in on both of those things. Okay.
All righty, dear. Thank you so much. I'll talk to you again.
Happy holidays. Okay.
And
bye-bye.
You too. Bye bye.
Bye.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.